It's our privilege to be back with you today and talk to you about the wonderful ways of Jesus. We'd like to invite you to join us again as we talk about the wonderful Word of God. We'd like to read to you today from 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, at the 1st verse. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, this is reading from the writings of Paul. And I suppose that Paul was one of the greatest writers of his time. And being the apostle that was sent to the Gentile church, I place a lot of confidence in the writings of Paul, knowing that he was the great man of understanding that he was, and remembering how the history tells us he confounded the great intellectual powers of his day, it makes Paul real outstanding to me. Here Paul speaks of the stewards of God, or the ministers of God, which are stewards of the mysteries of God. So often we accept the gospel as being a real simple thing, whereas it is true that the gospel is simple when it comes to confessing our sins, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. It's really, truly simple. I'm glad that it is simple. It makes it easy for all of us to come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you know, there's nothing simple about the gospel when it comes to the great hidden mysteries of God. It takes long hours of searching, of praying, of fasting, of waiting upon God to be able to understand the great depths of the mysteries of Christ Jesus. And here Paul, being a man that has spent many years in research in the scriptures, tells us that there is mysteries for us to understand. That there is great adventure in the Word of God. There's great dimensional depths that we can fathom in the Word of God. Knowing this, we search diligently, praying, always looking and asking of God that we may be found in the will of God, that we might please God, and that we might find the great hidden treasures of the Word of God. You know, that's what makes serving God such a glorious experience and such a great thrill. Knowing that we have at our fingertips a great treasure, the greatest treasure that has ever been known to mankind in this world. Paul speaks of it as heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. The wonderful knowledge of God. You know, the knowledge of science is wonderful, but there is nothing to be compared with the knowledge of God. Solomon spoke of it, saying, "Search, seek, and soon you'll find the knowledge of God." The world is ever searching and ever looking, but they're not looking through the eyes of Christ, and they're not searching according to God's way. Therefore, they never come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But we who have come to know Jesus, we have the great privilege of learning about God and coming to the knowledge of the truth. And what a day for us to find the truth. You know, if there ever was a time when man needed to find the truth, it's the day that we're living in. We need the truth of God's Word. There is no means of escape in this hour unless we find the truth. Nation against nation, there's one problem right after another. People trying to settle our problems. Great statesmen are confounded. Great leaders and great dignitaries, they don't know the way out anymore. Great philosophers, they're all confounded. And they just can't seem to find their way out anymore. Even people that confess to be ministers, many of them doesn't have the answer because they have not been with God, not understood the ways of God. Therefore, it's such a glorious hour to make a discovery of the truth and how needful it is in this hour in which we live. You know, I think about the world crisis right now, the problems that we're having right now. It seems like it's such a awful time. Jesus spoke of an adulterous generation. He said there'll come a time when there will be an adulterous generation, a sinful generation, a cursed generation. There'll come a time when men will wax worse and worse and worse. and that everybody will begin to oppress his neighbor, and that it'll be a long, drawn-out, weary day where there'll be no joy, no real jubilance. You know, you might turn to the world in the hour that we're living in. You might go to the frolics of the world, and you might do all the things that life has to offer. But there's one thing for sure and for certain. When you finish, you're going to be just as lonely in your heart as you was before you started. You're going to find yourself even more cast down than ever before, because you're going to find yourself running into, as we say, a canyon wall or someplace to where you can't get through. But God has a way of escape. You know, as it was with the children of Israel, God offered a way of escape. They had wandered for many years in the wilderness, but they couldn't find their way out. The reason they couldn't find their way out is because they rejected the cornerstone. They rejected their leader. They rejected leadership. For it's a true fact, according to the Holy Scriptures, that God, through the leadership of Moses, took the children of Israel right up to the Jordan and was ready to take them into the Canaan land right at the very beginning of their pilgrimage. But being afraid of the giants, not being concerned, not following leadership, not doing the thing that they should have done, not obeying the voice of God through the great leader Moses, they were turned back into the wilderness to wander day after day, just wandering around in the wilderness, ever looking, ever searching for a way out. But God had ordained that there would be no way out. Now, why is it that they could not find a way out? Oh, listen, friend. They had rejected the way out. They had rejected Moses. Moses was their way out. God had given Moses the plan. Moses had been there for 40 long years. He knew the way through the wilderness. And he knew the way over into Canaan. And he had offered the way to them. But they had rejected the way. And leaning to their own understanding, their own intellectual powers and ability, being filled with the knowledge of Egypt and their own self-will, it's a true fact that they wandered for 40 long years in the wilderness. And the elders never did come out. They died in the wilderness. They kept searching and looking and hoping for a way. But see, the way was right there with them all the time. Moses was the way. And at any time, should they have submitted to Moses, repented of their sins, turned to Moses, and said, "Oh God, forgive us and help us," and had really been sincere and really meant business with Moses, then at that very hour, God would have brought them out of the wilderness. But see, they rejected the way. Isn't it the same way today? Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me." And here the Lord is with us all the time, but we're ever rejecting God. We're ever depending upon philosophers. We're ever depending upon great statesmen. We're ever looking for the answer in seminaries and colleges and in great studies and all of these other things, rather than searching after it through God, rather than looking to Christ. We're always trying to figure it out for ourselves. And as a consequence of that, we always find ourselves in a dilemma and find ourselves ever wandering around through the wilderness. Now, isn't that right? That's the trouble with mankind today. I'd say that the world is in the greatest crisis that it has ever been in. I appreciate the leader that we've got today. He seems to be religious and he seems to be sincere. But you know, there is no way that a man can ever bring us out of these things. There's no way that any leader of today can ever bring us out of the crisis of today. There's no way that the president of today can balance the budget of the national indebtedness of the great United States. There is no way. It has gotten into such a place to where there is no way that he can do that. We are standing in a place to where no human being can help us. The Bible tells us that in that day no man shall save them. So we're living in an hour when no man can help us. Therefore, we must depend upon God. We've got to turn to God. You know, we can look to all the clubs we want to and all the programs on TV that we want to, or all the radio programs that we hear, and we can go to all the studies that we want to. But friend, let me tell you, when we finish, it's going to take God. There is no way out but God. We're going to have to come to God's Word. And we're going to have to stay with God's Word. You know, when you really come to God's Word, you have to leave all of the things of the world behind. You have to get away from all the cults, all the denominational powers. You have to just come down to God's Word. See, and when you come down to God's Word, people begin to war against you. And people begin to say things against you. And people begin to find fault with you. Why do they do that? Because God's Word is the way out, and Satan knows it's the way out, and the devil realizes that when you come to the Word of God and you leave off with all of these other things, that you're fixing to find your way out of the wilderness, and he is going to lose control of you, and therefore he begins to harass you, he begins to cause you problems, and he begins to war against you in your mind and with your neighbor, with your friend, with everything. But you know, if you'll just keep on loving Jesus, keep on walking in the light as he is in the light, keep on walking with the Word, looking to God, after a while everything will be all right. Right now we need a helping hand from God. I believe you'll agree with that. You know, as I said, I believe that our president is trying to help us. But it's going to take God to bring us out of these crises. Years ago, our national indebtedness was about $1 billion, about 1913 when the Federal Reserve was established, about $1 billion. Today, it has gone up in such great figures that it's almost impossible for the average person to quote the figures, because it has left the figure that I just quoted and went up into the trillions of dollars, something like $7 trillion, or seven trillion dollars. When you get up into figures like that, how can you fathom any such thing as that? How can the average man understand? When you talk about trillions of dollars, beyond $7 trillion, and then if you look at the indebtedness of America, it has gone up to $10 trillion. Look how it has climbed up. There is no way that any president can balance a national budget with that kind of indebtedness. You know, when we talk about trillions of dollars, a lot of people, they don't even know how to fathom such thing. But if you took a dollar, or so we're told, to lay a dollar end to end, counting to a trillion, just 1 trillion, you'd have to go something like 4 million miles beyond the sun. Think about that. And our indebtedness is of such that there is no way that we can ever meet it. It has been said that each individual of America is indebted at least $100,000. Every individual throughout the world would be indebted at least $48,000. What are we going to do with a debt like that? There is no way that we can handle it. Maybe we have something like $10 billion in Fort Knox, and maybe something like 80 to 90 billion foreign claims against it, and maybe 100 or 160 billion printed substitute notes against it, inflation rising all the time. How are we going to cope with it? Then on the other hand, look at the morals of men, how that they have dropped down. Man has gotten in such a condition that God can't seem to help him. What is it? A sinful and an adulterous generation. We, as American people, have taken on, as we say, mass murder in the land. And it is permitted that this thing should be. It is permitted that within a period of something like 10 years, over 9 million abortions. Over 9 million abortions in a period of 10 years. That's mass murder. Whereas we cry out to God, how will God ever hear us? At a time like this, with things like that prevailing, do we expect God to look down upon us? Do we expect God to take us out of this wilderness? There is only one way, and that's to go back to Christ. That's to go back to the same Word of God that we had in the beginning. You know, when the forefathers came over and established this country, having fled from the old country and came and established what they called the new way of life,
having come over and give us a new world, you know the first thing they did, they prayed to God. And they said, God, have mercy upon us. As we establish another government, and as we establish another way of life, we pray that your divine providence, oh God, will be with us. Lord, that you will help us. And oh God, that you will look down upon us and guide us. That this be the act of the divine providence of God. That we can have the nearness of God and the protection of God, knowing that we're just a few people having fled from a country with great armies. And God smiled upon them, and God helped them, and God stood by them. And you know, even as they signed the Declaration of Independence, as those names went down, those men knew that they were laying their lives at stake. That they were laying their fortunes at stake. They knew that they were placing their honor at stake. But yet they were willing to do it. They were willing to do it. And some of them later died. Of the 56 that signed it, some of them later came to poverty. Standing behind their commitments for a better world. But look at the money-hungry people of today. Where is the Americans of yesteryear? Where are those men that had the money and the power? Where are those that are willing to lay their fortunes down and willing to lay their honor down and willing to lay their lives down to defy the corruption of today? See, where is this at? Where is this at? Where is it at today? We don't have those kind of people. What is it? Something has happened. Something has happened to America. Something has happened to the people of America. So then we realize that these kind of things can only be done by the right kind of people. There is no way that we can do these things unless God be with us. There is no way that we can do these things unless God help us. So then, when we think about the condition of the world today, think about all of the things that's taking place today. There is only one thing that we can do. And that is turn to God and ask God to undertake in this hour to bring us out of this miserable, wretched hour that we're living in and bring us out of this wilderness into the wonderful Canaan land of God. That's the only way that we can do it. Now then, we'd like to pray with you just before we say goodbye for today. I'd like to pray with you if you're looking in this direction, if you need help, I'd like to pray with you. I ask you to pray with me. Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Father of heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would look down from out of heaven. I pray that those that are looking in this direction, that your divine healing power would go out, Lord, by means of our way and heal. I pray that your great spirit would be with us, Jesus. Father, to heal in the name of Jesus. Father, to help in the name of Jesus. Oh God, to save in the name of Jesus. May thy spirit enter into our hearts and into our souls. Oh God, in your wonderful will and way, deliver us, oh God. Make us to understand in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus. I ask for your blessings today. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that you have enjoyed our message for today. I hope it's done something for you. I ask you again to write us a letter. Don't forget to write us a letter. We want to hear from you. You know, we don't have any way of knowing who you are or where you are unless you contact us. But if you've got a problem, write us a letter. Do like many people do. They write us letters. They ask for our prayers. And by that means, they find deliverance. A lot of times we get some wonderful letters that tell us how that God has graciously reached out and blessed. And I ask you to write us a letter today. Write us a letter and let us know that you're looking and listening. May the Lord bless you until we have a chance to meet with you again. Until then, we'll say bye for now.